Hi, welcome to More Than a Song. Our show's focus is on West Texas music singers and songwriters, off stage and on the air. Today, we'll be talking with musician with the Josh Abbott Band and the Eli Young Band, Lubbock's own Cale Richardson. Welcome to our show.
Honored to be here.
Tell us about growing up musically in Lubbock, Texas.
Before I was even aware of all the history here in Lubbock, I was being exposed to it, going over to the hidey-ho and seeing things like the Crickets play in person, not even knowing what I was seeing, you know, 5 years old or whatever, and getting to meet Jerry Allison and Joby Malden, and Sonny Curtis was playing with them, and my whole family's from Lubbock originally, pretty much. My dad's always played guitar and sang. We've always had a guitar around the house. Both my grandfathers played harmonica, but they call it the French harp. Hearing stuff like Wildwood Flower on the harmonica at a very young age. My dad would get the guitar out and play with my granddads, and I was hearing these songs that were probably 50 years old at that time. Knowing Buddy Holly's entire catalog before I really knew who Buddy Holly was or how important he was to modern music.
Tell us about your first guitar.
I'll call this my first guitar because it's my first real guitar. I've got an ES-335, a Gibson. I think it's a 1982. At the time, it wasn't that old. I'd had the Musician's Friend magazines and been looking through this stuff. I was about 14 or 15. And we had some guitars around the house that I could play. We went into the Cash America on 50th. I walked in with my dad and said, "Dad, that's the one from the magazine. That's the Gibson 335. That's what I want." My dad chuckled like, "Sure, I bet you do, you know." He said, "Look, if that guitar is $800, we can't afford it. And that would be a steal." I said, "Well, I got to pick it up and play it." It was back there with the nice guitars. So we had the guy get it down. And right away, we saw the price tag was $500. We're going, "What's wrong with it?" My dad said, "Let's go plug it in." So we plugged it in. Everything worked. And there was people milling around the store, and they saw it, and they were looking at the price tag. "We better buy it right now. Does it have a case? We'll take it." That wasn't even meant to be my guitar. That was family guitar for him to play, and me and my brother also bought that guitar, and I couldn't put it down. And after I'd been playing for a few years, my dad could see I was really serious. So that's your guitar. That's the one that I'll run into the burning building for, probably. But that's the only one. I'm not real precious about gear too much.
Talk about your early bands.
By the time I was about 14, I was getting in the garage. Got to get some guys together, you know. The first time I actually made that happen, I was going to Cavazos Junior High, be the ninth grade talent show. Most of the kids were getting up there, lip-syncing to popular songs of the time or dancing. I said, "I'm going to get my buddy Colin to play the bass." We got our buddy Simon. He's got a drum set. He can hold a beat. Got him over at the garage. "Let's learn Stray Cat Strut by the Stray Cats." I knew every solo. It's like, if these guys can back me up, we can do this. So yeah, we did the talent show. And it wasn't a contest or anything, so nobody won any awards. I remember the back row, all the teachers just perked up. They were like, "What is this? Sounds like a band." One teacher there, he lived in Austin before he was teaching. And he knew I was into guitar. And he said, "Oh, you got to get down to 6th Street. You got to get to the Blind Pig Pub and see some blues. Go down to Antone's." Putting those seeds in my head at that age. Then my good friend Jonathan Haggard, a South Plains guy, he told me about a guy named Scott Ferris. And he was taking lessons from him and Kerry Carter, maybe. He's a few years older than me, and he really said, "We can do this." Most of the guys were about 4 to 6 years older than me, playing down at Einstein's, which broke my heart when they tore that building down. But it's cool what they put there, the Walk of Fame and everything. So it's kind of cool to think that probably the first bar in Lubbock I played in, that's where the Walk of Fame is now. We put a band together and called it Outland Out Groove. Worst band name ever, potentially. It's in the running. Means nothing. We were playing with Chris Killingsworth, Chuck Clare, a guy named Carl Minicky was playing bass with us. And then we met a guy named David Fralin, who's my other dear, dear friend to this day. Then we started kind of playing a little more rock stuff. He could sing Robert Plant. He could sing AC/DC and that kind of stuff. So if you find a singer who can do that, the guitar players are always happy. We played all around town. We won one of the 4th of July Battle of the Bands. I didn't really know him at the time, but I knew the band 80s Combat. It's funny how life works, because I never knew Eric Harrison when we lived here in Lubbock. Then 20 years down the road, we're both in Austin, living about a mile apart, and he's got a studio. I get a call to come work with him, and we've become really dear friends, too. Played all the bars, and we were making money. We tried to write songs, and we didn't have any good songs.
your career sent you to South Plains College.
If South Plains College hadn't been there, I don't know what would have happened to me. I honestly don't. I had no plan. I just want to play the guitar.
Cale was a very, very talented young man when he got to South Plains College.
Well, thanks.
Way ahead of the pack.
I just lived and breathed it, and it was so great. Just like anything now, I wish I could go back, take so many classes, and actually practice. That would be good. Taking guitar from Scott Ferris, who became a major mentor and influence in my life, and just another dear friend. We're still making records. Studio shout out to Amusement Park Studios. Guys like you.
You work with Jay Lemon.
Jay Lemon, that's exactly what I was thinking. Ed Marsh. Ed Marsh had a great story about Alan Mundy, taking him to an awards show years ago. He was trying to express to us, y'all don't know how famous Alan Mundy is in the bluegrass world. He's a rock star in the bluegrass world. People don't realize, and he's just out here teaching bluegrass in his sweats. Ed's going to pick him up for an awards thing. It's a black tie affair. Ed's all dressed up, opens the door, Alan's in his sweats. And Ed's going, oh man, does he not know? Do I need to tell him that he's got to get a suit on? He's like, well, Alan, you need a little time to get ready? He's like, nah, I'm ready, let's go. Ed's sweating it the whole way there. The elevator's doors open. They swarm him like he's Steven Tyler or something. Alan, come in here. So getting to take lessons from people like that is just incredible.
Let's listen to a cool tune from your CD. This one's called Long Gone.
All right.
If you're feeling lonely, baby, keep it to yourself. Cause I'm long gone, I'm long gone. And if you want a second chance, go tell somebody else. Cause I'm long gone, I'm long gone. Well, you might think I had control. I just let you rock and roll right in and out of my life as you please. I've been before a lovesick fool of many more less cruel than you. I might as well deny my sanity. Don't you even try to call. Already done moved on. I'm long gone, I'm long gone. Well, once there was a time that I loved you through and through, but I'm long gone.
We'll be right back to continue our conversation with Cale Richardson on More Than a Song on 89.1. Welcome back to More Than a Song. Our guest today is Lubbock musician, worldwide entertainer Cale Richardson. What is it about West Texas that produces so much memorable, great music and musicians?
Ask Joe Ely or somebody good. There is something to being isolated when there's not a whole lot of other options. It's just like a giant blessing to have something like this here, have a music scene like this here. I've been all over the world and it stands out with all of the best music scenes anywhere. It's like Muscle Shoals is in the middle of nowhere too. Think about how much great music came out of there. It's kind of like, okay, these people get isolated and they get creative and they come up with stuff that if you got a million things to do, you maybe wouldn't do that. You know, obviously a lot of the music comes out of the churches here. You know, that's a giant source of it too. That's the closest I can put my finger on it.
And you were isolated in little bitty town Leveland, Texas at South Plains College. That led to a move to Austin.
Your son Cody was playing with a band called Honey Brown. I think he gave you a call and said, is there anybody out at the school that's worth our time auditioning? Because they were having a lot of people in Austin audition. And so they're kind of looking for some younger talent that maybe hasn't been in the scene as much. You and Scott Ferris both put my name in that hat. And I thought, this is crazy. I'm not going to leave my band and move 7 hours away. And guys like you and Scott went, why not? Go try it. I did. And I got the gig. And it was like a ripple effect after that in my career. I can't thank you enough, Carrie, for being so instrumental in helping me get my start in this.
You have done quite well in the music industry, in the Texas music industry. Name a couple of the bands that you've been with.
Ended up playing with your son some more with Cody, with a guy named Ryan James. And he's another South Plains guy. Put a band together with the three of us and a bass player named Matt Slagle, who plays bass for Pat Green. Played with those guys for a few years. Had a great time playing with Honey Brown as well. Ryan James kind of folded it up after a while, really sadly, because he's such a great talent and songwriter. And I still keep up with him. I still write songs with him, which is kind of cool. From there, I went back to Honey Brown for a couple of years. That's when I started playing with Hudson Moore. Kind of came about that through a guy named Brendan Anthony, who's now the Texas Music Commissioner. He was Pat Green's fiddle player, still is, full time for many, many years. So he kind of got me involved in that scene. I met a bunch of other great players and was lucky enough to work with David Fralin again, who was playing keys in the band at that time. This is about 2011 or 12. I get a call to come play with the Eli Young Band, kind of an audition period. And they wanted an auxiliary player. And I'd never been an auxiliary player. I've been mostly a guitar player, sang a little harmony, play a little keyboards. I started on keys. They really threw a curveball at me. They wanted a steel guitar. And I still don't play pedal steel guitar. I went out and grabbed a B bender and a G bender unit, slapped it on an SG, and played it with a slide. And went, well, this works well enough for Sheryl Crow's guitar player. Ended up getting the gig, 7 years with those guys, and got to travel the world. And that was just the most incredible period of my life thus far, getting to go to Australia, Japan, Germany, all over the world. Mostly those shows were USO shows.
Did a little television with them.
Most of the late night stuff. We did Leno before he retired. We did Letterman before he retired. Jimmy Fallon when he was still late night. That was 30 Rock. So we got to go up there and the building's tiny. You go up there and the rooms are tiny. You think it's huge on TV. It's where they shoot Saturday Night Live. The really interesting thing about playing Letterman was we were there in New York in the middle of summer and it was hot. We walked into the Ed Sullivan Theater and it's 56 degrees in there year round by decree by David Letterman. Don't touch the thermostat. And we're going, this is crazy. I could literally see my breath in that studio. I'm not kidding. We went, what's the deal? If you ever go back and watch Letterman, the whole band is wearing heavy coats. We went around and we're looking at the bandstand and Paul Shaffer's keys rig. And he wore a pink suit that night. I got to ride in the elevator with Paul Shaffer in a pink suit. We're looking at the bandstand. They all have space heaters by their feet. It's that cold in that building. It was really incredible to play all those late night shows with Eli Young Band and the CMT Awards, the ACM Awards out in Las Vegas. Pretty amazing to get to do all that stuff with them. At one point, I think we worked 180 shows in a year for 2 years in a row. We made like hardest working bands list and stuff. So that took me to about 7 years with them. And that's right about when I decided to make a change and start doing more of my own music.
That's when you formed Kale and the 45s.
Exactly. I'd put that band together and done an EP, kind of toyed around with it, but never really promoted it too much because I was just crazy busy with Eli Young. As it would happen over the pandemic, I kind of started getting calls to play with the Josh Abbott band. And my good buddy, David Fralin, who goes way back to our old high school bands, I got a call from him and he said, well, dude, you're not doing much. Why don't you come play a little with us? And I said, well, man, y'all got a 7-piece band. What do you need with another person? Preston, our original fiddle player, another South Plains great, had left to go play with the Brothers Osborne. So I kind of came in as another auxiliary role, as guitar and steel, and it just kind of snowballed from there, and I started playing with them full time. But now I'm kind of coming back full circle and putting out my own record with Kale and the 45s also. It's kind of where we are now, playing with Josh and doing my band.
I particularly like the song Nobody.
Thank you.
Talk about how that song came about.
I got turned on to guys like Buddy Miller. Besides playing with Emmylou Harris for many years, Robert Plant, and Alison Krauss, he kind of put out some stuff that was country gospel inspired, and he would have the McCrary sisters sing with him. And I thought, wow, what a sound to have these gospel singers on kind of a country two-beat kind of thing. A friend of ours said, you got to call Angie Kay. And she's a well-known singer in Austin. We brought her in and she blew the roof off the place. And we went, that's the sound, you know. And we also used Chris Rhodes on upright bass for that. And he's just this world-class rockabilly slap upright bass player. And if you know those guys, there's about 10 of them. They all played for all the bands that need that. Brian Setzer or Johnny Cash or Jesse Dayton, guys like that.
We'll be right back to continue our conversation with Cale Richardson on More Than a Song on 89.1. Welcome back to More Than a Song. We're speaking with Cale Richardson. Tell us more about your songwriting process. Do you co-write?
I would love to co-write, and I always say this, I'm just so intimidated by the process at this point. I haven't ever written with anybody else, really. I feel like I would have to bring in half of a song and kind of let somebody help me finish it, rather than sit down with nothing, blank sheet of paper, and go, what you got? I haven't learned that trick yet.
You play all styles of music, always have. What were your main influences?
Oh, I was a weird kid because, like I said, I was seeing the Crickets perform when I was 10 years old, and it's just what I had playing around me when I was a kid. When I got a little older, all the other kids were into Metallica and all this stuff. I liked No Doubt and stuff like that at the time, but I was kind of going, have y'all heard of Chuck Berry? You never heard that? I'm a weird kid like that. Grew up hearing Waylon and Buddy and all these great West Texas songwriters. Roy Orbison, I had no idea Roy Orbison was from here. A wink, I guess. So yeah, my influences are very retro, like all the old stuff. I'm coming around to new music. I think of music very chronologically, so I like to go back and see where stuff comes from. My ex-girlfriend, I used to always crack her up. You know, one of these new pop songs that would come on the radio. I'd get on Spotify. Oh, it's this song. You know, like Beyonce's Crazy in Love. The do-do-do-do-do-do. It's an old 70s sample. I love that stuff.
You're very animated on stage. You look like you're having a great time when you're playing music.
Can't sit still when I do it. It's weird to even sit on a stool when I play. I play guitar differently when I stand up. I even like to play keys standing up sometimes if it's organ or something. Piano, you like to sit down, get the right kind of weight on top of it. Somebody showed me that early. If you get up a little higher on a piano bench and you kind of get on top of it. Jay Lemon taught me that. Use the weight of your shoulders rather than the weight of your hands.
What all different instruments do you play?
I'm primarily a guitar player, then a keyboard player after that. Love to play B3. And luckily enough, I've got some B3 buddies that I've got to have real Hammond B3s around with me. I wouldn't say I play pedal steel, but I can fake it pretty well. The guy who did that with Sheryl Crow is Peter Stroud. This amazing guitar player, her long, long time guitar player. And I heard him doing that on her song Strong Enough. I went, where's the pedal steel? Where's the pedal steel? Who's doing that? And figured out what he was doing. I've gotten pretty proficient with that. Well, and if I could record doing it, I play some bass. I can fake it on stuff like the accordion and the banjo. I wouldn't call myself a player of those instruments. I wouldn't insult real players by doing that. And then the singing thing is weird. I never was a singer primarily. I kind of got forced into singing a little harmony. Maybe you need to sing a couple songs on the set and give the singer a break. Started liking it. Growing up in Sunset Church Christ here in Lubbock, you had to learn to harmonize even if you weren't a singer because there was nothing else going on. I always sang harmony with the radio in the car. And I just went, okay, I can hear a third. And then there was a point where I went, well, maybe I do need to sing lead. If I'm going to get my songs across and I need a vehicle for it. I know songwriters who have the pain of never having a vehicle for their songs because they're not singers. And I went, I'm good enough. I could put the work in and try to actually do this. And it became really fun. I definitely wouldn't call myself a great lead singer. Guys like Tom Petty are a big inspiration because it's kind of like, look what he did with that voice. It wasn't Tom Jones, you know? So I'm like, I can be a character singer if nothing else.
So what's on the horizon now with the Josh Abbott Band?
We've gone in the studio and we've made two records. He's actually sitting on a lot of material he's about to release. We just did a record with producer Dwight Baker, who's just this phenomenal producer down in Dripping Springs area. Used to play drums for Enrique Iglesias. So he probably knows our buddy Brett Bass. I need to ask him about that. The Bass family, Brett and Rob. Josh has got a bunch of new material that we're about to start releasing some singles. And the stuff is really strong. It's some of the best stuff I've heard him track and record. You should look for several singles coming out in the next 6 months with Josh.
What's online in the future for Kale and the 45s?
I've got to set myself deadlines. I figured that out. I'm not disciplined enough to get stuff done otherwise. So I have a deadline to mix this record that Scott Ferris and I have been working on. When that's done, we're going to release our first single, I'm Long Gone, a song Ryan James wrote, which is kind of like in the vein of Ain't Nobody, the one you like, kind of rockabilly, upbeat. We've got about a 10-song record that's just about finished. Put out a full-length record. I would say look for a record in this fall.
What's your favorite Cale Richardson song that's going to be on the album?
Calling it Real Thing right now, and I'm not crazy about the title, but sometimes songs title themselves. Can't argue with, well, if that's what everybody's going to call it anyway. I feel pretty good about that song. I had people like Scott Ferris, you know, really say, hey, this is probably the strongest thing we got on the record. Let's really make this a focus track. So I feel pretty good about that song, and I've been performing it live and getting a pretty good response from it.
We'd like to hear you sing that song.
Absolutely.
Wonder who I am, wonder where I'm going. No turning back this time, no way of knowing. Trying to appreciate the good times, forget about the bad nights. I wonder why I don't feel right. Maybe we just lost sight. Roses in the ashtray, champagne in the tub. Nobody ever told me about this thing called love. I really wish it could stay that way. I'm all tied up in green and blue. Really want you here to stay, and I hope you feel it too. I want the real thing, or not a damn thing. I don't want no wedding ring if my heart refused to sing. Don't want no fairy tale where no one grows up. I want the real thing. Wonder where you are, wonder what you're thinking. I really hurt you bad this time, my heart is sinking. I'm trying to appreciate the good times, forget about the bad nights. I wonder why I don't feel right. Maybe we just lost sight. Roses in the ashtray, champagne in the tub. Nobody ever told me about this thing called love. I really wish it could stay that way. I'm all tied up in green and blue. Really want you here to stay. I hope you feel it too. I want the real thing, or not a damn thing. I don't want no wedding ring if my heart refused to sing. Don't want no fairy tale where no one grows up. I want the real thing, real thing, real thing, yeah. I want the real thing, or not a damn thing. I don't want no wedding ring if my heart refused to sing. Don't want no fairy tale when no one grows up. I want the real thing before my, before my. I want the real thing, or not a damn thing. I don't want no wedding ring if my heart refused to sing. I don't want no fairy tale when no one grows. wise up. I want the real thing before my time's up.
Well, Cale, we appreciate you being part of our show. Honor to know you, to have watched you growing up in the music world. You're out there making us very proud all over the world.
Thanks so much, Kerry. It's such an honor. Chuck, too. Thank you so much. Wow. I'm here with Texas Country Royalty myself.
Thanks for listening to More Than a Song. I'm your host, Kerry Banks. This show was produced by Chuck Luck. Our guest today was Cale Richardson. Join us next Friday morning for More Than a Song at 10:30 on 89.1. For more information on More Than a Song, and if you would like to hear previous episodes, visit ttupublicmedia.org.